We gather here on New Year's Eve, according to the Gregorian calendar, since we as a church have already celebrated the beginning of the new year when we entered into the season of Advent. But since it is New Year's Eve, people will undoubtedly begin sharing with you their New Year's resolutions, either in person, conversation, or over social media. Now, the sentiment behind a New Year's resolution is, for the most part, genuine, and the person beholden to them has a great deal of energy and excitement towards their fulfillment. Whenever I encounter someone's list of resolutions for the year, I cannot but be reminded of a rather hilarious episode of the hit show Friends, which culminated with almost all of the cast giving up their new resolutions just a few days into the new years, including Ross being embarrassed from an incident involving leather pants. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, I commend the episode to your watching. Now, many of us begin these resolutions with great tenacity and commitment. But for one reason or another, the majority of us sputter out and fall back into old habits, where we give up on our new life choices. Nowhere is this more evident than at our local gyms or fitness clubs, where the place is jammed packed in January, but returns to a normal flow of members come the springtime. The perseverance, the patience, sacrifice that these New Year's resolutions often require sometimes are just too much for us to fulfill the promises we've made to ourselves or to others. Some of us have just accepted this as the norm, that life is often filled with disappointment, with shortcomings, and there's always next year mentality. Makes me wonder if Simeon ever experienced bouts with this type of thinking. Now, Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit rested upon him, and as the comforter and encourager, perhaps Simeon was saved from the lamentation and dismay experienced by his brothers and sisters of Israel. Maybe the words of the prophet Malachi served as an anchor for his faith. The prophetic words that promised, "The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple." Did this stir the heart of Simeon to return to the temple daily with the hope and the expectation that he would lay eyes upon the Lord's Messiah? And what was this waiting like? We have no idea when it was when the Holy Spirit promised Simeon that he would not see death until he laid eyes upon his and the world's salvation. He might have spent half his life seeking the one who would redeem Israel. St. Luke doesn't really clue us in on the age of Simeon, but it is assumed with his being paralleled with the prophet Anna that he is as aged as she. Nonetheless, our attention is to be drawn to his persistence, his patience, and his faithfulness to God's promise, a promise that was finally fulfilled when he spotted Mary and Joseph and that 40-day-old Christ child in the court of the temple. Now, Mary and Joseph are portrayed in St. Luke's Gospel as being both obedient to the Romans and to the demands of Jewish religious customs. It was their obedience to the census of Quirinius that led them to Nazareth. and it was their obedience to the law of Moses that brought them to the temple. First for his circumcision on the eighth day, and once more on the 40th day, for both Mary's purification and the presentation of Jesus to the Lord. In this manner, Jesus, like any other firstborn male child, is bought back from God. God, who claimed possession of every firstborn in Israel during the Passover. In obedience, Jesus' parents brought him to the temple to be presented, offering the prescribed sacrifice for his redemption. Yet the role of Jesus is not merely that of the presented one. His presence actively offers a new reality. He is not merely as a child, one who made Mary ritually unclean, but rather he is the restorer of life. He is not merely the firstborn to be redeemed from the service of the Lord, but the one who would bring about the redemption of Jerusalem, the one who was brought to the temple to be redeemed, is declared as the Redeemer himself. This is echoed in the prophet Anna, who one can assume had also been a consistent presence at the temple, much the same as Simeon. Her constant fasting and prayer could point to her work as a prophet, mourning not the death of her husband, but of her people, people of Israel. It is a testament to the new reality brought about by Jesus that causes her to cease this work upon his arrival, for she begins to loudly praise God and to proclaim to the people that the child was indeed the redemption of all Jerusalem. One thing I can't quite understand is Mary and Joseph's amazement by all that was declared, unless they're surprised more so by whom it is being said by. For the angel Gabriel had revealed both to Mary and Joseph, as well as those shepherds out in the field, about who this baby was and what he had come into the world to do. Perhaps they weren't ready for such a revelation. Perhaps they weren't prepared to hear that their little sweet baby boy would be rejected and vigorously opposed. Perhaps they were amazed by the universality of their son's redemptive work, that he had come not just for Israel, but for all creation, Gentiles included. Regardless of their amazement, it is made clear through the revelation of Simeon and the proclamation of Anna that through Jesus, God has and would fulfill his promise and bring to fruition the words of the prophet Isaiah and cause her vindication to shine out like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. Simeon received a momentary glimpse of this vindication, of the salvation that one day all flesh would see. That is, the forgiveness of sins and deliverance from death and the devil. And my brothers and sisters, is this not the ultimate meaning of Christmas? The very incarnation of God? For as St. John Chrysostom preached, Christmas is the day the ancient slavery is ended, the devil confounded, the demons take to flight, the power of death is broken, paradise is unlocked, the curse taken away, and sin is removed from us. And why is this? Because God is now on earth and man in heaven. Then on every side all things commingle, For he became flesh that he might dwell amongst us. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, in addition to your New Year's resolutions, or frankly, in place of them, cast your eyes upon the salvation of all creation, as Simeon did. Praise God, as Anna did, and proclaim to the whole world that redemption has come, and it has come as God in the flesh, Jesus the Christ, born of Mary. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and Amen.